Tim on English with Scott. The fourth and fifth Eric in the second EP talked about Tikkun Olam and Darkei Shalom. A whole series of enactments the rabbis made to make the world a better place, Tikkun Olam, and to bring peace to the world. It's not surprising it's in Kitin because the whole notion of a get means it didn't have any Darkei Shalom. The husband and wife couldn't get along. So the enactments put to promote peace among people was put right in the middle of the Masechet that talks about the break, the divorce. That's why I mentioned the other night the Churban, all the stories of the destruction of Beit HaMikdash are in Masechet Kitin, sort of the break between God and the Jewish people. So included among those are you can't overpay for hostages, you can't overpay for religious items, the Kohen gets the first Aliyah. It's also there to, we shouldn't, fight in shul who gets the aliyah. And of course, one of the halachas, although I don't believe it's mentioned in the Mishnah, it's in the Gemara, there is mefarnasim aniyei akum ani Yisrael, that a Jew has an obligation to give staka to an akum. Akum means idol worshiper. So this is really an unbelievable halacha. There's a distinction in Jewish law, maybe nowadays we don't have such a distinction, but there's a distinction between an idolater and a non-Jew. An idolater is like the Avi Avot Hatuma, this height of immorality and all terrible things that are saved and saved by idolaters. But nonetheless, Balakha said when idolaters in need, you have to give him tzedakah, you have to visit him when he's sick, you have to bury him, you have to do acts of kindness. So that's a really very beautiful halakha. And yet on the other end, Jewish law says one is not allowed to take money from an idolater. We have to give and not receive. It's considered a chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name, that Jews have to go to non-Jews to collect money. We have enough money on our own to support our own cause. We don't have to go running to the non-Jew. Shulchan Aruch says you can't do it in public. If God forbid, Mamish, a guy's going to starve to death. You mentioned in Hilchot Staka, that's a fear. That in the ancient world, people would actually starve to death, which used to happen. Baruch Hashem, it doesn't happen. Really, or it doesn't have to happen in the Western world. It happens in other parts of the world, unfortunately. So then you can collect from a non-Jew. So that's, I think, a very interesting halacha. Then you have another very strange application to us of Hilchot Staka, that you don't have to support your own children. I got four of my kids sitting here right now. So once they hit the age of 6 or 7, that's it. They're on their own. It's like it's very strange for us. But that's what the Gemara says. In theory, the Gemara, of course, says it's inappropriate that a parent should just abandon the kid. But strictly speaking, it's a form of tzedaka to support your children. We would not consider that at all. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Can day school education count for tzedaka? This is already a hot topic. Can you deduct the money you give for day school education to tzedakah? But Rav Moshe says, no. That seems to be, a person can't afford to give tzedakah. Fine, after paying day school education, maybe you can't afford it. But day school education is an obligation of a parent. Anything that's an obligation is not tzedakah. To pay for somebody else's Jewish education is a form of tzedakah. And Rav Moshe takes it except for the even girls. One may want to distinguish for sure in the time of the Gemara, there was a distinction between boys and girls' education. In today's generation, one must pay, that's not any stock. When the kids are much older, you have to pay for the education. That's just a little bit sort of just who you have to give sex a little bit different than we may think. And of course, the norms of society do play in to how the halakha may look at situations that at one time were looked upon one way and today are looked upon another way. Just mention a couple other interesting halachot. Of course, when it comes to money, you can't trust anybody. We know that. You can't trust anybody. I don't care how long, what the person looks like and how long you live in Shiva. Just like Chazal say, ain't ever trust the Arayat, when it comes to sexual immorality, there are no guardians. Anybody and everybody is susceptible. So too in money. So the halakh is that when you collect stuff, you have to have a minimum of two people, internal controls. So everybody watches the other person. They're not allowed to separate. The balei tzedakah, because you have to make sure a guy's not going to pocket the money. As a matter of fact, it's in the Mishnah already. The Mishnah in Shkalim tells us that when the Gohani went in to take the machatzit hashekel money, so they couldn't have any pockets. They couldn't even have a, like on the side. They had to wear totally where there's nothing to hide anything. Less people say that they got rich because of the tremendous lishkah. There, the assumption is they were honest. They were honest, but still, even if they're honest, people are going to say. People will always go and suspect. But most time, you know, when it comes to money, a little bit here, a little bit there, we're not so careful. So the halacha is very, very strict about that. As a matter of fact, halacha says things you're not allowed to even to give charity unless you have somebody like, you know, Pinchas Ben Yair, unless you have this amazing, righteous person in charge of the charity. We can't follow that. We wouldn't give any staka. We're not people like that. But anyways, it's very important that a staka be is transparent. The financial statements are available for the public, so people can see what's going on. That's really what the Gemara is saying. You have to be very concerned. And we've talking the whole week on Hilchot Kavod Staka. It's that the Gemara actually has a very interesting thing. It sort of goes against the norm. One is allowed and maybe even encouraged to ask for a reward for the giving of tzedakah. Normally we do mitzvot because they're the mitzvot of Hashem, and we believe we get a reward, but that should not be our overarching, you know, our goal. It doesn't have to be our overarching goal in tzedakah either, but the Talmud says, Homer Shelazu, this money is for tzedakah, so my son should have a refuah shleima, that should be well for my family, is a tzaddik gamur. This is a totally righteous person. That when it comes to tzedakah, we can even test God. We can, you know, say, God, you promised if we give tzedakah, you will help us. So that's just an interesting thing in mind. So there's nothing wrong. Somebody writes a big check. He can say, I would like in the schut of this check, X, Y, and Z, my family should be blessed with whatever. And that there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. It wouldn't be appropriate in other areas of Jewish law. But we say, aser bishvil, you know, tit aser, give so you should become wealthy. So we should all merit to have the money to give. It's much better to give than to receive, as we see. And we should be zochet to many, many brachot. Okay.